Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to today's first school of prayer for the year 2026. Please can you welcome your neighbor on your left and your right. Say we are ready to pray afresh. Yeah, we are ready for a new level of intercession. Yes, we are ready for a new level. Hallelujah. It is our habit, having spent the first 30 minutes praying, we are going to teach and then we'll spend the rest of the time praying. And we have quite a bit to do today if the Holy Spirit goes the way I'm thinking, unless He brings something else up to minister to the people of God. But before we start, let's take our usual declaration of understanding. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take our seats. We're going to rise up later. But for now, let's sit down. Once again, welcome to the first school of prayer for the year. And I have, direction to share with us. Our prayer for, at least for this season, is going to take the direction it will take. Maybe I should just start by reading one particular portion of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Matthew chapter 6. He said in verse 20, let me just start from verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I like to use the word mammon. My Bible uses the word wealth here. Other translations will use the word mammon. It says that this wealth here is personified as an object of worship. And what it means to worship something, please let me just quickly say it before I continue reading. What it means to worship does not mean to necessarily bow down. It's to make sacrifices to advance a particular cause or an object. Do you follow my point? What you worship is shown by the kind of things you sacrifice for. Are you getting my point? That's how you know whether you are worshiping mammon or you are not worshiping mammon. If you make sacrifices primarily for gain, then you are worshiping mammon. Even though you don't have a picture of money in your house, you are worshiping mammon. Even though you are not rich, you know there's this unconscious thought. The only rich people worship mammon. And those who worship mammon, they are all rich. It's not true. I think, let me not give proportions, but just as the rich may worship mammon, so do the poor worship mammon. In fact, I suspect there are more people proportionally on the so-called poor side worshiping mammon than on the rich side. That's just my own thought, okay? So he said you cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot worship God and wealth. Service here is a form of worship. He said now in verse 25, for this reason I say to you, please, that's just a small aside. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He said, look at the birds of the air that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now let me just jump down. He said, verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will it not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now that's why I'm reading this. The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And your Heavenly Father, however, knows that you need them. So what should you do? In verse 33, he tells us, seek first, paramount, the foremost thing in your heart. What should take your prayer, your meditation? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Verse 33 is why I read this. Let me start from 32. The Lord said, when you see Gentiles gather to pray their own prayer, their primary prayer point is what they will eat, what they will drink, what they will wear for clothing, material provisions. He said, but for people who have God as their Father, that should not be. That, listen, whether you pray for food or not, God will supply food. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He said, what should you do? Seek first. People say sometimes you still have to ask for the Father to do it. So, well, sometimes, I'm not saying it's against the law to ask, okay? But many times he does what you have never asked for. And he told us, looking at the life of Solomon, we saw that example there. Solomon sought the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things were added to him. Now, why am I saying this? Many times we gather to pray and we see our billboards, our posters advertising issue in matter of prayer. We hardly focus on his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. So even though it's scripture we are using to pray, it seems, but the focus of the prayer is not his kingdom, is not his righteousness. The focus of the prayer is still material things. See, let me just say this to you quickly. One of the places where we make mistakes, all right, is when we go for letters. Is this in the Bible or is not in the Bible? That's the only thing. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't go for scripture. But more important than the letters of the scripture is a heart that loves God. Did you hear what I said? That is the one that the scriptures will open to. That's why Jesus said, you said the scriptures because you think, that is, you can think wrongly and you are handling the scriptures. Those people took the scriptures and they used to read it. They were dedicated readers. You found that among the scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yet, Jesus said they were making a terrible mistake because they were looking for letters. Now, come to our own modern time. We are looking for principles to live life by so that it will satisfy us. We will succeed materially. Where our focus is not often on the kingdom and his righteousness. So we will take, listen, this is very important. We will take what looks like correct scriptural, principles. We'll take God's promises and we will sit on them to cater to our worries. And we'll give testimony to how we prayed the whole night and breakthrough came. Does God give breakthrough? Yes. Should you pray the whole night for it? No. It's taking too much time. Most prayers for material things for a believer should be dismissive. It might be dismissive. Father God, this thing is staying on my heart. Let me hand it over to you. Because sometimes we can't help it. The burdens will come. Even though you are not the ones trying to put the burden on your heart, somebody will come and put it for you. I don't want to say some things here. There are burdens, I've told you, man of God, that people have tried to place on my heart. And I started turning into quarrel. And like Reverend Yinka will say, just by the way, he said, there are times, husband and wife, that if your wife is always asking you to do something that's not really in line with the will of God. Now, I'm not advocating this, I'm telling you what he said. You can hold him after meeting and say, man of God, did you say this? He said, turn it to fight. So that the matter won't come up again. He said, because if your wife worries you about something, you eventually do it. And that is very true. If you, see, I don't care who you think you are. If Eve says, eat this fruit. It's a matter of time. So the man of God said, what you will do is that you first turn it to fight. Not physical blue, of course. You'll be so emphatic about, look, in this house, there's no eating of fruit. So that next time, before she brings it up, she will remember your eyes. He said, because if you don't do that, bro, eventually, you will chop that fruit. The Lord is good. What am I trying to say? Sometimes people will place burdens on your heart, even though you were not planning to. Your father will call you and place a burden on your heart. Sometimes it's a prayer point too. Don't you think you go and see Pastor Dami is doing a program? Let him pray about this, your job problem. You think he's helping you? At the end of the day, burdens. Friends will place burden on your heart. One brother told me once, his friends were sending him application forms for big, big jobs. He came and called me, said, sir, please, can you help me? I said, how? Tell them, I believe I'm where God wants me to be. The money may not be big, but this is where the Lord wants me to be. So I told one of his friends, I said, guys, the man knows what he's doing. Leave him alone. There's one man once, he wasn't married. So people were worrying. So I called one of the guys disturbing him. I said, you guys should leave this man alone. Did John the Baptist marry? Answer me. Okay, I'll ask you some other questions. Did Paul marry? I'll ask you one that will surprise you. Did Timothy marry? You can't answer. Hey, Paul didn't have any married man follow him. Hey, you didn't hear that time? Titus, Timothy, you followed Paul, you've joined the seminary. You are now a Catholic priest. If you followed Paul. If you tell Paul, say, let us go and preach, say, please, my fiancé was calling me. He will write a letter. That me has deserted me. Have you fallen in love? That's how Paul was. I'm not saying marriage is bad, though. Peter married. Do you know the name of Peter's wife? Peter hid it from us, didn't tell us. Paul told us. He didn't tell us the name, but it was Paul that let us know that James had a wife. Peter had a wife. All those guys, forget the way they are writing there, as if saying, they had wives. Paul was not going to leak their secret. Well, not, just joking, not supposed to be a secret. So I'm not saying it's bad. But I'm saying that I told the people, I said, leave this man alone. Brethren, marriage is not for everybody. If you have a Pauline ministry, now please, I know Dam is now feeling like, hey, I'd have married though. It doesn't matter. I've already told you that. I'm just trying to explain that this was what I told somebody about another person because they were putting a burden on his heart. So people come and donate burdens to you. But how do you handle them? Carry the matter and give to the Lord. Please, don't stay up day and night on material things. God doesn't like it. Let it be any time. Let him understand that you can pray about it for one time. Afterwards, you are confessing away your fault. That is like, about God, I don't know why I'm still thinking about this matter. Please, I have told you about it. I know you are handling it. Thank you because you will take care of me in Jesus' name. Dismiss it. But what should you put on your heart all the time? It's in the Bible. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let me use my own life as an example, my own category of Christians, preachers. You wake up at night, Father God, when I preach your word, let it catch fire. That is in the heart. Every time you are praying about it. You are praying about your understanding, your insight, your ability to move, you know, by the Spirit of God. It's always on your lips. You know, let me tell you how, can I use the word concerned about it that Jesus was? I'm just borrowing the word concern. I don't want to use the word worry. He prayed at that time, over 2,000 years ago, in the hearing of Peter, James, Andrew, Philip, all of them, of course, John, all of them. He prayed in their hearing for those who will gather in Enugu in the year 2026 and will be hearing the word. He was that concerned. Pastor, where is that? Man of God, it's not in the Bible. He was praying not only for them, but for those who will believe by their words. My words that I have put on your lips shall not only be on your lips, but the lips of your seed and your seed's seed. He was concerned about the kingdom and his righteousness. So it's very proper. I learned this over time. Every letter I write in a book, in an article, you know, a sermon published in a magazine online is encoded with prayer. Do you get my point? Yes. If I just discover, I will start praying about it again. I pray for those who will listen to it and those who will memorize it to go and preach as if they are the ones that preached it. You know, there are different kinds of preachers. There are those who will get there and they want to quote that they heard it from you. But there are those who, they listen to you, nobody in their church must know. They will not come and memorize everything you have said. In fact, there's one pastor, he doesn't do like, I don't believe he hides his own. He's a pastor somewhere in one West African country. He said he doesn't even bother, like, all this praying for mercy. He said he doesn't have time again. He just listen on Saturday. Whatever I say, he will memorize it. Go to church on Sunday. He just go to church on Sunday. And just remember, anyone he can remember, he will tell the church. He wrote it to us like that too. So, just before download was so easy like this, years ago, he now said, please, that they should pack all the messages that we have here and please send to him and he will bear the cost. I can't remember the details, but anyway, we packed material. He said something that was very funny. He said, even if pastor coughs, please, they should make sure it's in the recording. No, I'm not joking. He said that literally. He said, even if he's cough, please, we should send it. So, the tall reverend said, sir, he said, even your cough, sir, is needed. Not in Nigeria, one of his African country. So when I pray for such persons. Those who will listen to him. That's a concern. Do you follow my point? It's a concern. It's a concern. You know, the other day I was looking through the new edition of Grace to Prosper. Of course, the free soft copy was released a few weeks ago. So we first released it. It was deliberate, all right? We released it just as a short link. Instead of putting it on the website. It's now on the if you go to our website, it's there to download. We really can't track that one. We don't have the setup to track that one. But the first time we released it was a short link. So the idea, when you go to the short link page, you can see everywhere it's downloaded from there. And so I was tracking it. It's not like we downloaded it from this country. No. The one that concerned me was West Africa, East African countries. I said, this country, people didn't download. No, it becomes a prayer point. Yes. I'm not looking for anything from them. I mean, if I wanted something from somewhere, it'd be wanting from North America and Europe and all of that. No. I said, no, this gospel must move. So we'll be on the knees again and start praying. Father God, open doors in this place now. I open doors. Let this book, okay, this person downloaded, one person downloaded here. Let him share. You will pray and help the person. There's one brother who wrote us that he stumbled. He was searching for something on tithing. So he put on Google and Google popped up one of our articles. And that was when he got hooked. He ministers, I think, in an Anglican church and all of that. So, he joins the prayer point. No, he's part of the prayer point. We'll pray for him. For years now. I don't know whether he's an ordained minister or is a lay, what they call lay, preacher in the church. But he's a very, very active in ministry. I'm so happy because he repeated not all those witchcraft things that we do in Nigeria. I say, they do it plenty there. He was writing from somewhere in East Africa. You understand? He said, what now? That he doesn't have time for, do you understand? He doesn't have time for such things. He walks in the victory that he has in Christ. And he's teaching other people. Teaching other people, delivering them from all this fear of witchcraft, fear of these things, say for what? He wrote that, look, that when the soft copy of Grace to Prosper, the second edition, was delayed. He wrote that, please, what's happening now? What is going on? Because he kept on following. After some months, he said, you guys said, you know, we have to send him an uncorrected copy. So be reading it, but don't share it too. Then when we finish making all our final corrections, we'll now send to him. Then, okay, you can delete the other one. It's full of errors, but now we have done our final proofreading. You get like good thing. Seek first what? his kingdom and his righteousness. There are things that should occupy you. I've said, look, see, this one of painting, the kind of house you will live in on your wall, don't bother anymore. I remember those the one we read books like the fourth dimension and being incubated. And I look back and I say, incubating house, God, please forgive me. We're incubating motor car, incubating wife. And you ask yourself, when did Adam incubate him? All Adam could do was incubate giraffes, hippopotamus. Those are the things they told him to name. He had never seen an Eve. Never. You know, I was joking with Junior Israel. And who was in the office with me? Was it you? On Saturday. Three of us were laughing at my wife. I said, listen, when they say marry your type, I said, it's a lie. My wife is not my type at all. We're laughing. I said, God knows the kind of wife he will give you. If they leave it to you to paint, you will paint nonsense picture. Because if you told Adam to paint Eve, we would have heard, you know, those in the Revelation, not Adam for Mary. Or in Daniel, the head of lion, this side the face of bear. Those are the, you see? That's what, because that's what he had seen. He had never seen anything like himself. It was God that now said, okay, let's now make somebody like him that will fit him after he had gotten frustrated with all kinds of things. So, if I must paint picture, it's spiritual. And like I told you, the story is in my book. Should I say yes? I said, which kind of wife do you want? I said, hey, dear Lord, my wife must believe. That's the second point. I never said my wife must be a Christian. Man of God. You know why I didn't say so? Because it's the same thing like saying that my wife must not be a monkey. It's not a... It's like when they say, what do you wish? Is it that... That's... Do you follow my point? It's like saying, Lord, I don't want to marry a dead body. I mean, do you say that? I never asked God that my wife should be a Christian. No. That was taken for granted. That's not a prayer point. If I had said it, God would have sent this boy back to spiritual kindergarten. It doesn't have sense yet. That was not allowed. What I said, she must be an ardent disciple of the word. And then the second one I want to bring up about his kingdom. I said, she must believe I can teach. And that I can teach her. I don't have time for debate in my household. I don't know whether I get my point. Argument. Does it mean you're always right? No. It just means in my house, I'm always right. Ask my wife. If I'm in my house, I don't know whether, if we had to do competition, who listens to messages most? I think I should still win. So I don't think I should. You think you or your son have defeated me? No, the children, they've not reached my... Well, maybe they have, because you don't know what they are doing in their corner. I wake up during the night, tap something on, put it against my ear. So it's not saying I'm always learning. Always. I heard the name of one man the other day. They say he did 200 messages on the book of Romans alone. I ran to go and look for him. So I downloaded his messages. So I'm always trying to learn. However, where I'm going is this. In a house, the house of a small order. So I prayed, I said, Lord, my wife must believe that I can teach and that I can teach her. That she must believe in the grace till today. This is not bragging. In fact, the first day I heard it, I was shocked. I'm my wife's number one preacher. Yeah, till today. More than half of the time, my wife's listening to a message. She listens to in fact, Dami, you should come and see my bag. There's this bundle of crisp notes inside my bag. My wife listened to a message, so she came, knelt down, gave me an offering. Said, man of God, please go and buy something. Am I not blessed? This was a message I prayed at the beginning of, is it last year or 2 years? Last year. She's been listening to it. He said, man of God, you pray some prayer. I said, my body hot. Next day, she went and looked for money. Give bundle. She said, sir, I need to give you an offering. I said, I've been carrying the money up and down. I'm just looking for how we spend it. Yesterday I bought gala from it. Yes. Till today. 26 years after. The first day I asked her and said, who has taught you the most in life? I expected to hear the normal Kenneth Hagin, David Oyedepo, you know, Derek Prince, all those kinds of things. She reasoned up and down. She said, I think it's Pastor Banky. I said, eh? No, you didn't get it. I heard what you said. I said, eh? Okay. God does answer prayers. You can read the rest of the story. I told you a bit about it inside the book. Should I say yes? And I said, whether the woman will be short or tall, dark or fair, slim or fat. I said, those ones, let the Lord decide. After all, beauty is in the eye. Sorry, let me modify that in a bit. Okay, what I want to say is English word. Beauty is the eye of the beholder. What it means is very subjective. It's how you feel about it. But what I wanted to quote is what somebody else said. I think it was John Graham Lake. He said, we don't see with our eyes. We see through our eyes. Yes. Now, you don't see with your eyes. You see through the eyes. There is something behind that's using the eyes to perceive things and interpreting it the way it wants. If you ever studied psychology, go and read about the Oedipus complex. Go and read about it. Some things that dictate attraction in your life. That's why what you consider beautiful is not what somebody else. When you are finished watching all kinds of nonsense movies, and when you are following E on DSTV, and you are reading Cosmopolitan, all kinds of magazines, they will now see some people who are sick and hungry and nutrient deficient and depressed. And they will create for you that this is a picture of beauty. You will now look at yourself inside the mirror. You that we like before, you now start starving. Then you are only maybe 60 kg. Next thing we see, you are 42. We will not carry you on our shoulders and go to hospital and drop you there. They will not fatten you for us. By that time, we will not remove all the nonsense magazines you have been reading because they created a wrong picture of beauty for you. The world revolted against it, but let's not talk about that. They revolted at the time. But they are backsliding again. Because typical of them, when they wanted to revolt, they went to the other extreme. Let's not talk about that. We're talking about what? The kingdom of God. That we sat down and we're incubating nonsense. There was a time I watched Nefertiti and Cleopatra and Co. Well, maybe that's not the name, but in Ten Commandments. And I said, this is what a man and his wife should look like. Nonsense. Rubbish. What did I call it? Rubbish. God delivered me from that nonsense. We cannot be spending our energy incubating things that don't have to do with eternity. You allow God to add those things to you. He will add them. He knows what is good for you. You don't. You think you do. You don't. Another person, I love his story so much in the Bible, is Joseph. One day he was a prisoner. The following week he was married. Married to a rich man's daughter in Egypt. He was saying, hey, fall in love. I said, this fall in love thing is called what? Fall in love. What is the first word there? What's the first word? Fall. Is it rise? No, answer me. Is it fall in love or rise in love? Answer me now. Is it fall? Is it positive? A fall is a fall. Whether it's in love or inside mud, all of them, it is fall. Anytime you fall in love, come on, get up, clean your eyes. See properly. Fall or call. That's how people fall into trouble. Love at first sight. Go and ask Joseph, Jacob, what that produced in his life. Some people will be following bad examples. Nonsense. See. How did Joseph get a wife? Purpose. Mission in life. Pharaoh just called him. He interpreted the dream, gave a solution. Pharaoh put him in charge of everything. Pharaoh looked like, are you married? He said, sir, I'm coming from prison. You know, the week before, Potipharah had sent his daughter. Potipharah was a high-ranking religious man in the society. He had sent his daughter to the palace to go and help deliver something to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had seen her pass. I'm making that one up, okay? That's not in the Bible. I'm just embellishing that story. But you can imagine. So when he saw Joseph, his mind just went back to Asenath. Now you call Potipharah. How's that your daughter that came here last week? She's fine, sir. She wants to go for NYC. No, there's no need to go for NYC. Say, come, come. Can you give to Joseph? You know, I've told you all of this, falling in love. I said, what are you falling in love for? Once you have purpose, you love God, you are responsible, you can work out the rest later. All the story of their life, they told it to themselves after. Say, how did you land in prison? My sister, myself, I don't know. After they had married. We concern ourselves with too many mundane things. Do you know a lot of times in life, God just look us like this. You know what he's looking at? Waiting for you to get tired of arranging your own life. Then he will now step in. Let me give you a small tip. When anything about your life wants to be a bother, pray about it in a short sentence and say, Lord, this prayer is to hand it over to you. Now, please give me the assignment to keep me busy so I won't be thinking about this. Do you understand? I heard the story of one lady. Now, the way people are doing, go for marriage seminar, how to get ready for a husband, which is not a bad thing, but that seminar should be on how to become a better person, but it's the same thing actually at the end of the day. All right? How she was going for a seminar on mission, she now located herself in one village, somewhere in one West African or East African country, from Nigeria, or doing mission. I think she was a nurse or something. Went on mission work, doing mission. Now, so one broke home from America to come do mission for that village. They're not doing mission in America. Are you getting my point? She didn't have time to worry about that. Where she went for her mission, God told one guy, say, come. Now, you are going to go to mission in Ghana. I'm not sure which country now. When you get to Ghana, don't stay in Accra. Go rural. I'm going to say, yes, Lord. And preach the gospel. He didn't know what God was sending him to do. Now he called do mission. Now he says, sister, where they do mission. As he did mission here, she did mission there. Mission kept on coming together until God just said, go! I got the two of you. Oh yeah, give me your hand. Say, I take you as... It's a true story. Sometimes we spend too much time, We spend too much time. Look, my focus is on your person, your character. That's where I'm going. My own, there is not a, you will pray and tell God. No, not those details, especially those material things. No. Seek first. You know, the Lord tells us something clearly. We want to reason it away. Seek first the kingdom of God. And we have seen examples in scripture. Solomon sought the kingdom of God. And then he became very rich. Now, some of us, now, when we want to seek the kingdom of God, you know what we are seeking? Riches. So, kingdom is not the shortcut. And God sees the heart. That's what I was saying earlier. It is not about which principle, which scripture are you quoting. First of all, where is the heart located? Look, when it comes to scripture, you cannot understand better than where the heart is located. And I keep saying it, when I say God spoke to me, I say, look, don't disturb me with God spoke to you. You see, I'm sorry to say, it doesn't impress me too much. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to people. But what you hear is a totally different thing from what he said. And so you cannot tell me exactly what he said, you can only tell what you heard. I get suspicious. Balaam will say, before I went that day, I heard God say go. Did he not hear God say go? We found out later why God said go. Because the Bible says he loved the wages of divination. He loved the wages that Balak offered. So when you just worry God, say, okay, you want to go? Go. Say, thank you, Lord. I knew you would say so. Well, say, something must be wrong with your head from the... you came, I said, go. They brought more money, you came back to me. Do I look like somebody like you? So you think the money was small. That's why I said, don't go yesterday. The offering yesterday was like that man that, oh boy, one man came to their church. You know, sometimes their glory is their shame. That is, they are proud of what they should be ashamed of. He was talking about the power of your seed. A man came to him and said, he should pray. He said, I don't pray that kind of prayer. The man brought offering. He said, I told the man, let's go to the altar. You know, man said, pray that my candidate will win. He said, no, the will of God. That man opened the envelope. And was it 10,000 or 20,000? $20,000 was inside. The man of God, that's what they call Balaam. You know they call Balaam? He took his Balaam fingers, ran it through the money. He told the man, come, let's go to the altar. What pained me about that story is that he was preaching it as the power of your seed, not as the foolishness of his own personal character. Yeah, he was preaching it that, see, you can move God with your seed. Please, so it's a lie. Oh, hey, let's just get it clear. It's a lie. What God doesn't want to give you, if you lie, sacrifice your leg, he ain't giving you. So, please, I'll get back to what we're teaching today. I feel like correcting some people. You can't pray until you have given an offering. You're not normal. You're telling me. It's abnormal Christianity that has to put an offering down before you can make a request to God. It's foolishness. God doesn't, he hates it. Let me just say, let me tell you the way it is. It's something, if you do it next time, he will make sure you draw our money to give. Next time. If you want a man of God to pray, you understand? Men of God love vengeance. Do you understand? It's men of God that do that. I'm not saying it's wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it is wrong. Giving is good. What's the name of that woman? No, Shunem. Yeah. The Shunammite woman blessed Elisha so much. She said, no, I have to bless you back. And this happens, and it's very, very right. But go and check it. When that Shunammite woman was called by Elisha, what do you want? She said what? Nothing. That is what she did. She did with a pure heart. It was not something she wanted to use to provoke a blessing out of God. And if you don't have that kind of heart, forget the blessing. It's not coming. If your own is an investment, it's a bad investment. Anybody preaching it to you does not know what he's saying. And usually, you know why? He preaches it. The church needs money to run. So, please, you guys should help pastors. Let's help us to speak the truth, okay? By giving the money even before we lie. Don't make us lie before you give offering, eh? There's one brother I want. He went and looked for money and bought a car and dashed the pastor. You know his reason? Was that this man will die if he doesn't have this car. Please, now, pastor, can you now preach a straight message? He's just like, hey, this man is under duress. Okay, what will ease his soul? So he looked for money, bought a car, and dashed him. In his mind, say you can calm down now. Next Sunday, can we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm not saying it's good, but if you have to do that, like one brother told his pastor, pastor, this thing you are preaching, is it in the word of God like this? Is it really? He said, if you want me to stop, bring money. We need money. He went to his pastor and said, pastor, please, sorry. What is this thing you are doing? Is it good? Like I said, you think I don't know? He told him, see, all this one you are talking. See, bring 2 million, I'll stop. How did I get into that? Just to tell you that wants to pray, you don't need to pay God first. He's insulted by it. Do you get my point? When you want to approach, go sincerely. You're talking to your father. So these children here, all my kids are here. They've never offered me anything before they asked for anything. Never. Never. I know what Jesus said. That's me. How did Jesus describe people like us? Being wicked. Uh-huh. What did he use? Being evil, yes. I know what I'm saying. Being evil. That I know that. Have you seen the way mafia men defend their family? At least the way we see it in movies. That is, they will do anything to preserve the lives of their wives. This guy cheats on the woman. No? But if you touch that woman, he will burn your house down. Protects his children with all his heart. Being evil. He knows how to give good gifts. Then somebody now tells you, your heavenly father does not answer you until you are giving him something. Which, how else do you insult somebody? Make it look like he's a principal. He doesn't think he's a principal. AI. And his own is DI. You just press the right keys, he'll vomit out the right results. He doesn't have initiative. He does not have compassion. Just a machine. That's not God. One major time, that is one of the major leaps in my life when it comes to worrying was when I began to have children. I said, wait. If God loves me half as much as I love these kids, I shouldn't worry. And you know, he loves me more than I have the capacity to love. Yet I reason that if only half, you know the kind of thoughts that come through my mind? Let me just leave that. I just say, God, please, forgive me. Sometimes, this is just flesh will just be disturbing you. The world, when you watch too many useless movies on YouTube or TikTok or people's, you know, statuses, But if those things don't disturb you, you understand who the Father is. You have no reason to worry. The brother was telling me yesterday, he said that he couldn't save any money. And his rent was due. And he's not a young person. In fact, officially he's retired, but he's working somewhere else. We were talking about, you know, yesterday. He just gave me a testimony. He said, so he prayed to God and said, Father, see, rent will be due. He said he checked. By the time the rent was due, a few weeks to the rent was due, he had not saved a cob. He said, then one day he got a phone call. A phone call from one of these pension fund managers. They told him one long story. He said, what is the conclusion of this story? That there's a tranche of money they are supposed to pay him. But just to make it easy, they first wired him 800,000 naira. Then when he comes to the office, they will balance it and then they will pay him the rest. He said, just bring that one first. Bring that one first. The day his rent was due, he had fully paid. I said, thank you, sir, for this testimony. I read this story, I think, in a tract or a book somewhere, but true story about a couple. I've told the story, and I've told it many times while preaching. Elderly couple, retirees, they're pensioners, you understand? And on their little pension, they could just manage to get by. And these people were living in an old house. They've lived there for a long time. The landlord left them alone. They were paying small money. And then the landlord died. You know, some people shouldn't die before some other people, but this one went and died. By the way, this man telling me the story, the same experience he had. His landlord also died. And the son came, sold the house. And the owner is now the one that raised their rent. But God met it. This other person, the son took over the house and said, look, these old people, what they are paying is not good. Told his agent, kick them out. So they wrote them, either pay the new rate or you leave. And God said, so they decided to pray. And God sent the agent in charge of the house to go and listen to the prayer. So he came to the house one day. He wanted to knock. Then something made him stop. He started to walk around the house. He got to a place where the window was open and he stopped. He froze. It was God. Froze him there. And he overheard prayers. I heard the woman call the husband, please, you know, we're supposed to pray by 4. I'm waiting. The man said, I'll be down there. Then he came. And she was on that lady prayer. I said, look, you know where your... These are elderly people, pensioners. So you know where your children? Anything you give us, we will take. He said, we're about to be homeless. He said, it's not much of a problem. Because wherever we go, he will be there with us. He said, but... Now mention the husband's name. That he's been having a back issue. So it will be difficult for him to live rough. So they need the house so that at least he'll be comfortable with his sleeping and everything. And they say, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They finished their prayer. The agent was released. You can go. He went and told the landlord, the young landlord, that property, I just want you to know, I want to stop managing it. The guy said, why? He told his story. He said, if you want to eject them, find somebody else. I can't. The young landlord looked at him and said, why do you walk around listening to people's prayers? He said, go. So that one told him that plan, I want to go and visit them. I have some money, I want to go and buy them groceries. What Americans call groceries, just provision. We call them provisions, all right? I want to go and buy them groceries and dash it to them. So that one looked at him and says, please stop going around listening to people's prayers. You hear? Meanwhile, when you get there, tell them their rent has been paid for the rest of their life. So just tell them that somebody paid their rent and they can stay there for the rest of their lives. And the guy did behind his pocket, brought out some money, gave to the guy. Say, add that to whatever you want to buy for them. And told him, please, no listening to prayer again. But that's how God solved their problem. God solved it. That's it. That was it. I can imagine how they felt when the guy came next day and said, I have news for you. What is it? A mysterious man just came and paid your rent and he said to cover the rest of your lives. You don't have to worry about it as long as you're alive. The little rent they were paying before, God now gave you. Do you understand my point? They didn't even collect it again. Say, don't even bring anything. Now, just by the way, that young man, that gift, that offering is a type that God blesses. He wasn't showing it. I showed this sheet right now. He wasn't showing the sheet. He just heard that some people pray to God. That's what they call the fear of God. He saw that really they didn't have the money to pay. And they've carried the matter to God. And if they carry your matter to God, I've told you, if you are owing somebody and you say, I leave it for God, don't agree, oh. You say, no. How much was the money? 10,000. I'll make it 15,000. God must not come into this matter. Because if they leave something for God, for you, he said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. I take the vengeance. Not just mine, I keep in the cooler. It's mine. I take action. So if someone says, I leave it for God, wait, just quickly wait. Did I do right? Did I do wrong? God, okay. Like, you go and see God about it. Say, Lord, see, the money was supposed to be 5,000. The guy was supposed to. Those Lord, am I wrong anywhere? Better go to God quickly by yourself. And if God says, oh boy, you are wrong. You're supposed to give him 10,000. He'll let you see it. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. What is the interest on 10,000? I did, I'm going to give the person the money. Say, God must not come into this picture. I don't think I'm a child of God. Nothing will happen. That's nothing will happen. It's why everything will happen. I saw somewhere, okay, one of my children, their status. Somebody put on their social media handle somewhere. Said, grace was not given to us to live comfortably with sin. It's not a way by which we and sin can now share house, you know. I have grace. It's sin. I can tolerate you. Stay on this side. No. Grace was given to overcome sin and to kick it out of the house. Don't stay in my house. So if you truly are a child of God, you will learn how to, even though you don't owe that money, you paid for it in the interest of peace. You know, I said all of this, how we handle our personal prayers. It's not something or personal issues. We don't sit down on them. We sit down on what? The kingdom and his righteousness. And the first place the kingdom comes is in your lives, in your heart. In your person. That's the first place where the kingdom of God is birthed. Jesus told them, he said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons in your midst, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. I read that and realized what he was saying. This is a personification of God's kingdom. So the first place the kingdom of God comes is in your life. When Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, that, you know, there are three ways he described Christians and, of course, ministers of the gospel. But Christians, not just ministers. Every Christian is like that. There are three ways he described them. One, soldiers. Two, athletes. And three, farmers. Now, he now said, using King James English, a husbandman that labors must be what? First partaker of the fruit. Now, this is what I found that he was saying. Just a few years ago, I realized that. What he was actually saying is that if you preach on love, your life should be the first to reflect what you are preaching. If you preach patience, oh boy, go and preach it to yourself again, because the husband, you know, what we used to think is that if I sow, I must be the first to eat. Even preachers have used that, if I bless you, when the word is producing your life, you must bring my portion. Which, there's another scripture for that. But that's not what Paul was talking about. There's another scripture for that. I don't want to discuss that now. But what Paul was talking about, the husbandman that labors must be what? First partaker. If you preach repentance, you finish, see, exhaust the repentance all around you. Repent of everything repentable. Is that English good? Repentable. Ask your wife when you get home, because this one that you are not there, I don't think your English is that good. No, you don't let those who don't know English come and confuse you. I can't quote that you said so. If you said check out, she let me quote you. I wish your wife was sitting down here. She's sitting on the other side. She's the one that will let me know whether repentable. I'm suspecting it's not correct. But when Paul said that, what he meant is that whatever you are preaching on, if you are preaching on being a liberal giver, oh boy, start. Not by effort, but by focus and meditation on that scripture until it becomes real in your own life. So when we're talking about the kingdom, you know what Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, in that Acts chapter 20? He said, take heed, how? To yourselves. First, then the flock of God, over whom he has made you overseers. Take heed to yourselves. Paul said, let him that thinks he stands, take heed, lest he falls. Those of you who are spiritual, you know, there are things. He put a heavy demand on the leadership. So that's why when he was selecting, he told Timothy and Titus, when you want to select elders of the church, they must be exemplary Christians. What am I trying to say? When we are seeking the kingdom, before we start seeking to conquer entertainment for Jesus Christ, you know, some of us want to conquer Nollywood for Jesus. Many times we want to conquer the seven mountains. You remember seven mountains? There's educational field, government, business, entertainment. Which other ones? Media. Family is a mountain? Okay. I thought that was a mountain across all mountains. Okay, family. Which other one? Religion. Those are the seven mountains. All right. So some of us we are strategizing to conquer kingdom. You know, JK right now is strategizing that everybody who dresses in Nigeria must dress to please God. Amen. Amen. Is it good what he's thinking? Yes, 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 it is still good. You that want to go and conquer, some of you have now, one day I went to preach, everybody said, I have a gift for acting. I said, it's not your fault. Everybody that put up their hand to talk said they have gift for acting and for singing. I said, nobody has gift to take care of children in this place. That was when Two Face did one advert for 40 million naira of those days, like 20 years ago. I was saying, I have gift for singing. They put me that I almost have gift for singing. The Lord is good. Many of us, they want to go and conquer this and that. You know what the Lord said? My son, my daughter, conquer yourself first. Conquer yourself first. What is your strategy for conquering media? Use it to conquer your mouth. Use it to conquer your heart. Use that strategy to conquer your immediate relationships. Paul said, those of you want to conquer religion, that is, become elders in church, let's check how you are managing your house. That's what he told Timothy and Titus. Make sure these guys are able to take care of their homes. They can run their families before they start conquering things for me. Because whatever you conquer is what you have in you that will affect the place. Do you get my point? Yeah. If you get to a company, everybody just stealing. And you are the boss. First ask yourself, are they thief? No, I know there will be Judas. I'm not saying there won't be Judases. But you first have to ask, hey, excuse me. Why is everybody so comfortable with stealing and lying in this place? Maybe I'm telling lies myself. Yeah, that's an attitude you should have. What am I saying all of these things? Listen. We're talking about the kingdom. Seek first what? His kingdom. And his what? Righteousness. Good. Now the things we focus on trying to pray to come into our lives, he said they will be what? Added. All these things will be added. So the energy that others use to seek these things, which is just what Gentiles do, and God warned that we Christians shouldn't behave like Gentiles, we should use that same energy to seek what? The kingdom. And I'm saying again, and that's the emphasis I want to do this period. Which part of the kingdom do we start first? It's in us, our personal lives. You know, on Saturday I said that my focus, I believe by the Holy Spirit for this year, is for through these teachings to produce what? Christians indeed. You know, I read that thing from, it was in the house. Somebody, one of my children was reading, and he read that John chapter 1 from the New Living Translation. I said, which translation is that? He said, New Living. I said, I checked. It was the same thing in my own New Living. I realized I've probably never really noted the New Living Translation. Quickly go there. John chapter 1. Go to verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. King James, in whom there is no guile. Look at New Living Translation, verse 47. He said, as they approached, Jesus said, now, that is Nathanael and Philip, they were coming. He said, now, here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Have you ever noticed that man of God? He said what? A man of complete integrity. Do you know how to raise my head? I said, where did you read that from? He said, New Living Translation. Because apparently I was following in another version. I flipped over to my, I said, my God. I like the way he said it. No, look in your Bible. He said, that Jesus looked at him and said, now, here is the genuine son of Israel. A man of complete integrity. I said, whoa. Now let me tell you something. This should be your prayer point. This should be your prayer point. There's something the Lord did for me some years ago. I still do it. Analyze my actions a lot. I do it. One day, I got to my office in the teaching hospital. So I was walking down the corridor. And I called somebody, gave an instruction to somebody else, and called somebody else. Somebody else greeted me. I said, Banky, Banky, shame on you. You know why? I said, the only reason why you are making all this noise is want all the people waiting to know you are the boss. If you heard me, you won't think any of it. I just called somebody, just greeted them. Because I said, all this, you see, look at your swag. Look at the level of your shoulder. It don't rise half an inch. I said, it is show. Now, nobody heard me. I was talking to myself, but I told myself the truth. I said, boy, don't be stupid. Because a lot of people, you know, the way you just enter this corridor, people are waiting, people are doing things. I said, I just felt like feeling like the boss. And of course, you know, the way, oh, you see, welcome. Like, good morning. Like, good morning. And I was feeling happy. Yeah. I said, idiot. But I remember because I said, God said, this is what I wanted to do. Why did you do that? You know what the Lord said? Only acknowledge your iniquity. It doesn't need, just agree. Say you have agreed. Good. So it won't happen again. And God has helped me with that. I do things. I quickly replay. Papa, why did you say that? Why? What are you trying to achieve? What is the reason? Is it genuine? Can you lay all of these things before God? If not, I say, Papa God, sir, I'm sorry. You know what Holy Spirit says? It won't repeat itself again. I'm not bragging. God is helping me, all right? I'm not. But anytime I'm preaching, God helping me, never say anything for the result I intend to get for my personal self or my ministry. Never. No matter what it sounds like, I can assure you, I never did. Before that one, in fear, even they cause that one, not even desire for holiness. Now say I don't want to die. Because Elihu said, when it comes to the word of God, I don't flatter anybody, lest my maker takes me away. So now when preachers do something, my wife will look like and say, hey, wait, this one, they don't fear God. Because she knows my own attitude. No, God help me with that. Not even today. Long ago, once his pulpit. Yeah. One day, I went for a meeting. They said, people are not yet ready. No, in fact, it was a major program, the one I want to talk about, when I was still in Lagos. CMDA people. So they organized one of these CMDA things that you who CMDA, you understand? So what they did was to get one of the resident doctors, and I was one, and another person, a lady, I think a student, to host. All right, so we're the MCs. So they now came and whispered to me that the next thing we're supposed to do is the CMDA drama unit supposed to present something, but they are not ready, whether we can take a song. I look at them. I said, they don't know the MC they hired for today. I told everybody, you know, the next thing we're supposed to do is CMDA drama unit is supposed to present something, but they are not ready. And I said, I don't praise God to fill time. No, I told them, I said, no, I don't praise God to fill time. No, I don't use praising God to fill time. No. So I said, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit down and wait for them to get ready? Or does anybody, no, really? People look like, I said, no. We're in front of the people of God. No, why you? I said, man, no, they do why you? If he said praise worship is supposed to be 30 minutes and I'm the one in charge of the program. At the end of 30 minutes, and I say, the preacher has not yet arrived. Continue praising God. I lie. I don't do it. 30 minutes, everybody, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, right now, we're supposed to go into the message, but unfortunately, the preacher has not come. So what we do is that,
Brother Jonathan, do you have something to share? Who wants to tell us a joke? But we ain't praising God. That one I know they do. If you want to start, I'll go and sit down. With the praise, when nobody they listen to. Does it make sense? I just want to worship you, Lord. God said, no, you want to wait for the preacher. Why are you lying to me? No, that's what I matter of you.
Monday. You know, I told you once, I was in church. They said, please, I should help raise money for the church. I don't have a problem with raising money. It's what you say in the process as the issue. So I told the pastor, how much money do we need in this church on a monthly basis to run? He told me. I said, fine. So I finished preaching, and I don't mix the two. Today, I'm speaking about the second coming of Christ. I did. You know, some people now preach giving. I did not preach giving. When I finished, I said, okay, hey, I was told that we need money to run this church. And since we are not going to go to Otedola or Alaji Aliko, it is those of us here that God is going to use. So what we are going to do is we are going to all commit ourselves. I spoke and spoke and said, at the end of the day, so the ushers were ready. They now started passing paper. Everybody make a pledge, make a pledge. So I saw the paper. So I said, okay, write your name. If you want us to remind you, write it. How much will be given to this church every month? Please write it there so they can compile it. And I saw somebody there, somewhere there, and that's a prayer point. I said, all of you, see that bottom, they wrote prayer point. And what they expect me to write? To say, write your prayer point. I said, don't lie. Nobody's going to pray for you. This paper is for collecting money. In church, I said, brethren, let's not deceive ourselves. This paper is not for prayer. It's for collecting money. I called one brother. You know the guy. I said, man of God, you are in charge of intercessory. He said, yes. I said, those of you who need prayer, that's the person who prays for people. If you have this paper, it's for collecting your money. Don't write any prayer point. They let nobody lie to you. They won't pray for you. The whole church scattered with laughter. I said, wait. The prayer point is not linked to the money. Prayer is free. Am I with Yota? It's free. There's no need. There's no need to come and pretend like, no, they're not joined. They're not joined. They're not joined. No, when it comes to preaching, God help me with that one. I know we'll lie to you. For what? Because me, I even the fear. Man must sleep. You want to wake up at night, the Lord is at the foot of your bed, tap your leg. Oh boy, wake up. You don't die now. You say, Lord, I'm awake. Say, let's preach your message today again. Say, Lord, no, I shall not preach that thing again. Why won't you preach it again? You know it was full of lies. And let me tell you, when God wants to do you strong thing, and is kind in doing it, he'll tell you, go back to church next Sunday and go and preach everything and tell them what you lied and the few truths you told. And when God tells you like that, don't think you can refuse. You can't refuse and say sorry. As a woman goes somewhere, now he testified, I can't remember which man of God now. He went to preach. He preached powerfully, raised money, finished raising money. They now gave him a cut of the money that he raised. He was going home when he heard the voice of the Lord say, if you want to see your wife and children again, go and return that money. The guy told the guy driver, turn. Go meet the host pastor. I want to show this shit to the No, don't play with God. Don't play with. The Lord is good. The Lord said, a man of what? Complete integrity. And that has to be our aim. That has to be the thing we are gunning for. What does it profit a man, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? That is, spiritual things that have to do with your soul and eternity, they are much more important than material gain. Yet we spend more energy on praying for those material gains than on things that have to do with our souls. What we are going to be praying for, our focus of prayer this year, that's what I'm talking about, is for the kingdom of God to be birthed in our lives. Many things we are looking for, they will be added automatically. What we have as Christians in us is the seed of God. We are not perfectly like him yet. After all, Jesus said that when we see him as he is, that is when we will become like him. What does that tell you? There's a process of transformation going on until that day. The seed of God dwells in us, but it must germinate. It must increase to maturity. And these are practical things. These are practical things. But this is our school of prayer. We're going to teach more about this on Saturdays. But in our school of prayer, what are we going to be praying about? And I want us to do something. Now, beginning for this year, let's read a particular portion of the scripture. I want everybody to read this together. Psalm 141. This is our prayer point for today. Let's rise to our feet. We're beginning to pray. Open your Bibles to Psalm 141. And this is our prayer point for today. Now, you have seen where we are going, right? Now, you don't understand where we are going? Okay, well, those who don't understand, say, please help me. If you understand, okay, that here, so please help me. Yes, where we are going is that at the end of the day, as a result of prayer and imbibing the word of God, we'll become like Nathaniel. The image of Jesus Christ will be formed fully in each one of us. That thing happens as a result of prayer and focus on the word. That's how it comes. And that's why I was saying that we spend too much time on things that don't matter. What matters? He said, what is the hope of glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said concerning to Galatians, he said, my little children of whom I travel in birth again, until what? Christ is formed in you. So there's a process of Christ's formation inside each one of us. And Paul said, I travel in birth. It's an effort. Part of our individual effort is what we are dealing with here. That is, our prayer is not on, give me, no, see, that's why I established that he will give. If you think it comes as a burden, dismiss it with prayer. But God said, what do I want you to spend your energy on? It's on the kingdom and his righteousness. What is the first place of that kingdom before our seven mountains? The first place in which that kingdom must be birthed and his righteousness is in our lives. It's the reason why we looked at Nathaniel, somebody concerning whom the Lord said is a man of what? Complete integrity. Please don't miss out on this. I want to talk about how character is formed. What we are like right now, how did they come about? And how will you become something else? Because that's the responsibility we all have. I look at the life of Joseph. Oh my God, I was studying Joseph and his boys. Something struck me very funny. You know, when they were leaving, Joseph said, when they were going back, after Joseph revealed himself to them in Egypt, you know what he said to them? Do you remember? His brothers. No, that's when he was revealing himself. But when they were leaving, he said they shouldn't quarrel on the way. Now, these are people he had not seen for about 15 years. He said, don't quarrel on the way. What does that tell you? They were contentious people. He knew them. That before they finish now, his fight, who sold Joseph? Whose idea was this? I reasoned about it. I said, my God, those people were very imperfect. I'm saying this to encourage everybody. I don't care how crooked you are, you shall be straight.
Amen.
That's it. I don't care what your background was like, but where God is taking you to, you will become exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Concerning Jesus, what did Paul say to us in that Hebrews chapter 1? He said, is the exact image of the Father. And that's what we're going for. Look at what he said. He said, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. That verse 3. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact, that's where I'm going to, the exact representation of his nature. And that's what we must all become. And Peter told us, that's the assignment. He said, so by this thing we'll become what? Partakers of divine nature. That is, God gave us promises. Promises, I found out later. Promises are the things that are supposed to form your prayer points. So that if you see the promises and you see your life is short of it, that becomes the prayer point. So if Paul said, let him that steals, steal no longer, is a word of God, it has gone forth. If you're a dishonest person, you will repeat that scripture to yourself every day. I keep on using the example, the story of Ben Carson. And I will talk about that again. How did he become angry? Frustration. Fatherlessness. Yeah, it's important. His father was not there to restrain him. One day, a relative asked me whether he could relate with me a bit and all of that. I asked him, actually asked him to come over. He didn't. My wife knows what I'm talking about. He made a statement. He said, I heard what he did the other time. Yeah, because he got into this stealing stuff and all of that from family. In fact, it's the reason why he came to Enugu at that time. I said, yes.
He made a statement that made my heart break. You know, I wanted him to come back. He did not. My wife offered to send him money so that he would come back. He didn't. He said, I have no man in my life to look up to. His father was not around. He said, there's no man in my life to look up, to restrain me. My wife remembers. I wanted him to come back. It's just that I don't know how the spiritual thing worked. He didn't come back. He was becoming an outcast in the family, but he said that to me. He said, I had no man in my life. Ben Carson was like that. He was angry. One day he was going to beat his mother. He didn't know. It was when his brother held him, he realized what was going on. And then one day out of a small disagreement, he took a knife, bam, to the stomach of a friend of his. An angel blocked that. But how did it manifest? The buckle the boy was wearing. The thing hit the buckle and the knife broke. And that was the turning point in his life. He ran down. He said his whole life played out in front of him. He saw himself in prison. He saw his mother losing one of her two children, a single woman. He ran home and said, God, you have to help me. Is it 2 or 3 hours later when he came out of that closet? He earned the nickname Gentle Ben. He became so gentle. He was so, when he was running for American president, the problem we had with him, we can't even hear what you're saying. He couldn't raise his voice. He became so gentle. That was what prayer did for him. That's where we are going. Any character you see in scripture that's good. You see, why I told the story of Joseph's brothers, the sons of Jacob, is so that you won't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Are you getting my point? No matter where you're coming from, don't be discouraged. No, don't be discouraged. Many things you are right now is not your fault. But it will be your fault if you don't become something else. It will be that God offered deliverance and rejected it. Then all the errors of the past is now accredited to you. Because that's how God does it. Because I can wipe it away. But the condition is that you will become something else. And me and you will walk together until you become that thing. That's what he said. Psalm 141. This is what we are going to pray, because as we go on, we are going to see this is how the Lord does these things. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and I'll show you where I want us to lay emphasis, which is in verse 5. Then we'll begin to use that one to pray. Transformation of your character is step by step. It begins with the seed of God being planted in you. Then day by day, everything that the Father did not plant will be uprooted. Pruning will begin. Are you there? Now, please, let's use one version of the scriptures. We can use anyone. Which one do we use? Some people say, okay, let's even try. Let's use New Living Translation just to vary it a bit. We're going to read the whole thing. Then we'll now go back to verse 5 and lay our emphasis. Are you there? Do we all have New Living Translation? All right. If you don't have, please look into your neighbor. These days, everybody has all kinds of translations. Thank God for the family of David Green. The Lord continues to prosper them. And those who don't know who David Green is, you have YouVersion. That's David Green's family. What you think is free is not free. Somebody's paying. And they are the ones paying. And that's why, how come you can get all those. How many people have Bibi links here on your app? You do. You have Igbo Bible. Oh, it's correct. That's Bibi links. Is that not so? Is it what I said that is incorrect? I'm a man of God, though. Anyway, the Lord is good. What I'm just trying to say is that David Green's family, they made all kinds of versions available. There was a time I had 2 Yoruba Bibles on my device. I wasn't reading anyone, but at least I had them there. 2 different versions. The Lord is good. All right, so New Living Translation, okay? Are we there? But I want to, let's read together. I want to, let's go. Oh Lord, I'm calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Take control of what I say, oh Lord, and guard my lips.
Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. But I pray constantly against the wicked and their deeds. When their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, the wicked will listen to my words and find them true. Like rocks brought up by a plow, the bones of the wicked will lie scattered without burial. I look to you for help, O Sovereign Lord. You are my refuge. Don't let them kill me. Keep me from the traps they have set for me, from the snares of those who do wrong. Let the wicked fall into their own nets. Let me escape. Hallelujah. This psalm is very loaded. I'm sure you agree with me. Yeah, it's very loaded. And there are so many things to read about it. But there's one thing I want us to pick out today. All right? Because going on from here, we are going to do many days of praying along the line of this Christian perfection. Look at what he said. One of the things God is going to do, all right, is that he's going to bring correction. So you need to pray this prayer. Let the godly strike me, it will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. That's the main prayer point we're going to take from here. You know what? How God changes people, the primary way is to bring your darkness into light. There are times it will just transform you. Okay? But usually it's because some things you know them already. Many things you are doing that God wants to change, you are not even aware you have that thing inside you. So what will he do? He will bring correction. What will he do? He will bring correction, instruction. Sometimes somebody will point something out to you that this is wrong. Sometimes the Lord will point it out to you by himself. Many times you are doing something that everybody thinks is correct and they are all wrong. You know, you are in the congregation of everybody that is wrong. You are wrong. Your pastor is wrong. Your friends are wrong. And God looks at her. You won't enter your destiny like this. So he has to step in by himself in a dream, in a vision. He has to send somebody special to come and talk to you. He does that. So this prayer you are going to pray today, I give you a few minutes. Read out the scripture to yourself. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head, this New American Standard. Don't let my head refuse it. It's very important. Don't let my head refuse it. Now begin to pray. Say, Lord, this year send me correction. Lord, send me correction. That's a prayer you have to pray. Say, Lord, I want to be corrected. The Bible says a man's ways are right in his own eyes. Say, Lord, I want to be corrected. That's a prayer. That's how the kingdom comes into your life. Say, Lord, I want to be corrected. You have begged the Lord. Say, Lord, let the righteous smite me. That's what he said. Let the godly strike me. He said it will be kindness. If the righteous will smite me in kindness and let them reprove me. He said it is kindness. It is oil upon the head. Say, Lord, let me be corrected. Brethren, it's going to come. It's going to sound nice, but pray now that God, don't let my head refuse it. That's what he said. He said, don't let my head refuse it. Don't let my heart be stubborn. You know, God said, if I want to destroy somebody, I will harden their heart. Say, Lord, don't harden my heart. And it's a very important prayer. I used to wonder, why would God say that? But look, we don't have time to talk about it. But God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He hardened Rehoboam's heart. Rehoboam could not do what was right. Because God had determined to remove the kingdom. Say, God, don't remove kingdom from me. Don't remove any kingdom from me. I'm coming today in supplication. That's what the Bible is about. That's what it is about. Please take those scriptures and read. If you have to meditate on the whole thing as we are praying right now, do it. He said, don't incline my heart to any evil thing. That's in verse 4. David prayed. He said, Lord, don't incline my heart to any evil thing. We are praying for breakthrough, because it is the first place we must break through. One day as a preacher, I was reading the Bible, and I got to that Acts chapter 20, when Paul gathered the elders, he said, I've coveted nobody's goods, nobody's silver or gold. I said, are you serious? a man preached all these years and he could say boldly, I have not coveted anybody. I have not used any trick to take anything from anybody. I turned it to him. I said, Father God, please, this is my prayer point. I will preach for you for decades, I believe. Let me never covet anybody's goods. Let me never covet anybody's money. Let me not covet anybody's silver, anybody's gold, any material possession. He said, the godly ones in the land, they are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I saw that concerning Paul. I said, Lord, this is what I desire. So pray. Say, Lord, don't incline my heart to any evil thing. Don't harden my heart. Don't harden my heart. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. He said, it will be kindness. That's what New Living Translation says. He said, it's oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it. So you're asking the Lord to send you correction this year. Even in the areas, look, it's not only in the areas you think you are bad. In the areas you think you are good, you need correction. Because you need improvement. He said, he that bears fruit, I will prune. Say, Lord, prune, prune me. Prune me. Say, Lord, be gentle, shall, but prune. Don't stop. Give me grace to bear it. If it will be painful, Lord, give me grace to bear it. But don't refuse to do it. Pray like David. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Don't harden my heart. Let the godly strike me. Let them slap my face when I'm doing what is wrong. Let them correct me. He said it will be kindness. It will be soothing medicine. He said, Lord, don't let me refuse it. See, the flesh wants to refuse you. Oh, I've seen people being corrected before and I've seen them refuse. I have some in mind. I was alarmed. This correction is a blessing. It's a blessing. Pray. Say, Lord, don't let me refuse it. Sometimes it will come from a junior. That's the one that's most annoying. Please overlook the person's age. Say, Father God, help me to overlook the person's age. Help me to overlook personal, you know, this feeling of being insulted, personal hurt, insult, you know, that kind of thing. Say, Lord, help me to overlook my own reputation. Some people say, you were talking about me in a negative way. They have talked about you already. It's whether that thing is true or is false. Say, Father God, please let me focus on what is important, which is my own personal correction, my improvement, so that I can bring my faults to you and you can cleanse me of unrighteousness. That's the first prayer point for the year. Say, this year, this is my desire. Make me a better man. Make me a better woman. Make me a better person. Make me a better child of God by the entrance of the word. Cleanse me by your word. The word of correction. The word of instruction. The word of guidance. The word that steers me away from evil. Give me the right prophetic words. Because when we're talking about prophecy, people think it's about prediction. No! The number one job of a prophet is to lead in righteousness. That's the number one job of a prophet. Go read the Bible. That's the number one job of prophets. To lead the people of God in righteousness. Let me read to us a number of scriptures. We use it to pray. I want to use it to... Now, these two scriptures I want to read is to scare everybody. To give us the fear of God. You understand my point? Yes, the fear of God. Because one of the things I pray to God about, brethren, this is a matter of fact. I fear that, you know, this is what God does. He corrects you once, corrects you twice. Now, the number of corrections he will give, they have been counted. He won't give beyond that. If you say there are 10 corrections, if you don't listen by the 10th one, sorry, that's the end. If he says they must all come within 2 years, bro, you have 2 years to change. That's it. You know, I've come to understand God now, and I feel so bad about some wrong thoughts I've had before. What I mean is that we had this attitude of God is so gracious, He's so long-suffering, you can't ever exhaust His patience. But it's not true. You can exhaust His patience. Concerning Israel, He said, God said, I sent prophet to them. He said, they rejected the prophets, they killed the prophets. He said, until there was no remedy.
Jeremiah prayed, was it Ezekiel? He said, no, God said, no.
The destruction has been determined. I like that expression. It's overflowing with righteousness. That is, if I don't do it, it will be unrighteous.
He said, my loving kindness, I will never withdraw from them. But doesn't mean my punishment, they will not hear in full.
Because what God wants to purify is not the material thing. So I realize, therefore, brethren, if you are to be corrected, hear it too. A time even comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't even talk again. He said, I have spoken enough. Better be talking to yourself. Very important. Let me read these two scriptures to us. Like I said, it's a warning. You are going to use it to pray for yourself. First of all, let me read from Proverbs chapter 29. If you wish, you can open there, but I will read it out to you. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. I like the poetic English, if you read the King James. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's Proverbs 29. Please, I don't know. Pray for 1 minute about this. Again, say, Lord, don't harden my heart. Don't let me harden my neck at reproof. Because this year, reproof is going to come. Reproof will come concerning how you use your tongue. I didn't want to take a break to talk about that in Psalm 141. David said, restrain my tongue, my lips. Reproof will come concerning it. Concerning your attitude towards your friend, family. Sometimes in small things, it will come, but you can't reject it. You can't reject it. Please pray. He said, he that is reproved and stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. That's New Living Translation. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism, correction, will suddenly be destroyed beyond remedy. So you need to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help me. Let me not reject correction. I was saying to you earlier, see, just hear it. The worst that will happen is that the person was wrong. You don't have to fight over it. You don't have to defend yourself. One of the keys to spiritual power, A.W. Tozer said, don't defend yourself. A.W. Tozer gave it as a key to spiritual power. He said, don't defend yourself. Don't defend yourself. There's no need. It's a key to spiritual power. I'm giving you A.W. Tozer. He said, don't defend yourself. In the same manner I'm explaining, if the Lord brings correction through a friend, even if they are wrong, just hear it. You don't have to offer any defense. Just go home and pray and say, Father God, help me to be a better person. I said I was going to read another one. Quickly, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 25. Proverbs 1, 25. Well, let me just read somewhere around there. Look at what he said from verse 20. He said, wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, listen to this, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Now, that's the point. Some people just don't want to reason. Spiritual reasoning gives them a burden. He said, how long will you scoffers delight yourselves in scoffing? And fools, how long will you hate knowledge? Now listen to this. He said, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Now listen, there's a problem. He said, because I called and you refused, and I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. That's the hand of correction, the hand of instruction. He said, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call on me, but I will not answer. He said, they will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. What's the reason? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. Let me just stop reading here. Now we are going to use it to pray and say, Lord, let me not hate knowledge. I offer myself to choose the fear of God. I choose the fear of God. I choose the fear of God. You need to say, Lord, I choose the fear of God. I will accept the counsel of the Lord and I will not reject his reproof. These are the things we should pray about. Brethren, that's what they call seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how you seek the kingdom of God. That's how you seek the kingdom is first in your heart. It's first in your heart before you start conquering mountains. The kingdom is first in your heart. Say, Lord, I choose the fear of God. I open my heart to reproof, to instruction. Let it never happen that a day will come that I will call and the Lord will not answer. Because when he was calling, I did not answer. Brethren, that's what to pray about to Christians. Many of the calamities you see in this country, it's not nice to say it, but God warned some of those communities. They did not listen. He sent prophets. They persecuted them. Then when calamity comes, we'll start talking in the newspapers. Pray that that will not be my portion. Say, I will not hate knowledge. Say, Lord, let me not hate knowledge. Let me choose the fear of the Lord. When you call, I will answer. When you call, I will answer. When wisdom calls out, I will answer. I will not love being simple-minded. Lord, this year I ask for you to give me the spirit of, you know, the craving for knowledge, the spirit, the zeal for understanding. The zeal for understanding. A lot of people, what they just want is prophetic word. They shall be well with you. When you try to teach them something, people have told me before, I talked to them. They said, please don't confuse us. Just tell us what to do. I remember one day they said that you pastors should not confuse us. Somebody said something. He said, what do I think? I said the opposite. Say, you pastors are confusing us. I said, no, you are confusing yourself. You don't want to sit down to learn. Now say to the Lord, this year, my ears are open. Lord, I offer you my ear to receive instruction. Now you pray that prayer. Say, Lord, I offer you my ears as the ears of a disciple. I offer my ears. You know, Bible said that put your bodies on as a living sacrifice, right? On the Lord's altar. Now, what you are doing specifically, you know, he said, my ear he has opened to hear as a disciple. So he said, Lord, I offer my ears to hear as a disciple. Brethren, I've realized the most important thing God is doing is releasing his word for the transformation of mankind. Yes, he's releasing his word for you, our personal transformation. Say, Lord, today I offer my ears as a disciple. Yeah, that's it. I offer my ears as a disciple. I will stay on my guard post to hear what the Lord will say to me. Now let's read one more prayer and then we'll close there. Psalm 139. Everybody open your Bible to Psalm 139. It's a very simple portion. We are praying with David. Because one thing is important. Many of us, Bible said, every man's way is right in his own eyes. We are going to read two of them. We'll just read it one by one. And then we'll close. Are you there? Psalm 139. Yeah, we'll read verses 23 and 24. Now, we are going to read it together. And I give you a minute for you to make your personal prayer. Let's use New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Are you ready? One, two, let's go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You have 1 minute to pray that prayer. You have 1 minute to pray that prayer. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Now, when he says know my heart, God knows it. It's for him to know and reveal it. That's the issue. It's better to say, Lord, search me and let me know my heart. God said to Adam, where are you? That's what it means. Adam, you used to know where you are. Say, search me, O Lord, and let me know my heart. Because the heart of man is deceitful. Only God can reveal the hidden things. He said, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Many wrong decisions we are making concerning marriage, concerning jobs, it's because of anxiety. It's because of anxiety. There are women who have lowered their standards below that God gave them concerning a husband because somebody said time is passing. If this one goes now, are you sure another man will come? It's called anxiety. Then she takes a leap into what she knows is not the will of God. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious. That's what they call anxious thoughts. Lord, when I'm about to make a decision, point out in me anything that offends you. See, brethren, it's those things that people say, did you hear God? You can't hear when the heart is wrong. Hey, how many times will I say that? People say, I know God said I should marry this man. It's a lie. It's anxiety that says you should marry him. Don't deceive us. Somebody told you that, by this particular age, you are not sure men do. When you hear that, that's it. Things that you know God has taught you from time. This is not your portion. But it's mindful that you are but flesh. If you pray sincerely to him today, he will bring you correction. Say to him, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. What are the things of anxiety leading me in the wrong directions? Point them out to me so that I can bring them to you in confession so you can help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's just read one more scripture and then we close. Like I said, we just read two. This is the second one. And then we'll be out of here. Job chapter 34. Just one verse. I'm going to read a number of verses, but then you are going to use one to pray and then that will be the close. Elihu said in verse 31, for as anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. That's verse 32. Teach me that which I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. Take a minute and pray that prayer. Say, Lord, that which I don't see, teach it to me. Many things we are looking for solution for in life. God says, something you are doing wrong. Say, the Lord, teach me this year. Many people are sick. Do you know, even gets down to physical things, man of God. They are sick because of what they eat that is wrong. Or the way they eat without thanksgiving. Just say, Lord, that which I don't see, teach me. So whatever it is, Lord, at the end of the day, I will be the exact representation of the nature of God. That's where I'm going. Whatever it is, Lord, at the end of the day, I will be the exact representation of the nature of God. That's what I'm asking you for. But that's what I'm asking for. See, this time I have not come to ask for houses, for material things, money. I'm not even asking you for a husband. I'm not asking for a wife. Now I'm not asking it for you children. I'm saying, Lord, make me the exact image of Christ Jesus. For that's the hope of glory. Make me, Lord, the exact image of Christ Jesus.